Welcome to the Mad Cat Movie Review Podcast. This is Sean.
I'm CL.
I'm Derek.
We're going to get back into the fields of my childhood and take a trip to 1995 and talk about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie. Before I jump into some questions that I have for you guys, a little interesting note about the film and how the stars of the movie are listed. So, of course, the movie stars the six Power Rangers, but they list the stars in alphabetical order. So when the movie comes on screen, it presents itself as starring Karen Ashley, which is the black, yellow Power Ranger. So
Aisha.
There you go. Which I thought was cool. So shout out to Karen Ashley getting that top billing. So the film also stars Johnny Young Bosch, the Black Ranger, Steve Cardenas, the Red Ranger, Jason David Frank. If you're a Power Rangers fan, I shouldn't have to tell you who Jason David Frank is. Amy Jo Johnson, the Pink Ranger, David Yost, the Blue Ranger, and Paul Freeman, who played the villain Ivan Ooze. So supposedly the film takes place after the second season of the television show, but it isn't compatible with season three. Made on a budget of $15 million. In its opening weekend, the film earned $13 million at the box office, coming in fourth behind Apollo 13, Pocahontas, and Batman Forever. Looking back at that, that might not have been the smartest move. I think Fox might have been banking on the show's popularity about a year or so before this movie came out. I remember when the movie came out, and although I was excited about a Power Ranger movie, I was going to see Batman.
Right.
It's Batman before all else. So a little misstep on their part. Plus, I think the popularity kind of waned a little bit when those three original Power Rangers left the show. The movie ended up grossing over $66 million at the box office. It's considered a cult classic among some, but critics and fans have been mixed, basically feeling like the movie was just a string of Power Ranger television episodes put together with a few better action sequences, but a way worse plot. So before we kind of jump into that plot, want to kick it to you guys. What's your experience with the Power Ranger franchise as a whole?
Of course, me being born in 89, I was right there when Power Rangers first dropped, very much in my childhood. And I was a big fan, especially of the Black Ranger. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure we're going to talk about that more in the podcast, but shout out to my boy, Zach. I really did miss him in the movie. I was a little disappointed that he didn't make it all the way there. For the most part, Power Rangers was a big part of my childhood, probably up until like right after like Turbo. And then I had to let it go, start watching Dragon Ball and other stuff and just kind of went by the wayside.
Watching this movie, I realized how much I had actually forgotten about this series. And again, I'm not even sure if I'd actually seen this movie before. I'm sitting there like, I don't remember this big Amazonian bro running around here with this. Damn sure I would have remembered it at that age. So I'm sitting there like, I don't remember any of this. And like you said, see how the thing that jumped out was like, man, the Black Ranger not in this? Like, who's this dude they got running around in my man's suit? I was like, that's not him. I'm like, yo, run that suit, yo, that don't belong to you. But my experience was coming home after school, hurrying up to get home so I can catch that episode and not miss anything. Power Rangers, Animaniacs, and whatever else was on TV at the time.
I'm gonna finish it off for you, bro. Yo, let me finish that off. Same boat as you, coming home from school, like you had to get there, you had to get home on time. Animaniacs, you had Batman, the animated series, mm-hmm. and Power Rangers all coming on in that afternoon, man. It was must-see TV, yo.
It was.
Yeah, man, I kind of missed them days a little bit.
I do too. But yeah, same for me, just super into it when it first came out. I think we all can agree, before Power Rangers dropped in 1993, it wasn't much else out there like that, at least not in the United States. I didn't see anything on television like that. So especially as a kid at that time that was taking karate, that immediately appealed to me, especially seeing commercials with Zach doing the hip hop keto, you know. You know, they showed that in the commercial when the show was starting. So immediately was drawn to it. I think with my being drawn to bad guys, I got super into it when the Green Ranger popped up and he was out there whooping everybody ass. So once Tommy got on the screen, I was hooked. And just like CL, I was in it faithfully until Tommy left. And CL hit it on the nail. Tommy handed over his powers during Turbo. And I was like, well, that's it for me.
Man, Tommy was that dude back in the day, bro. I don't even know how he got to like come off as such a cool ass white boy. It sounded like both me and you was here for everything that went along with Tommy. The hosties, the flute dagger, everything. You know what every I'm saying? Like, Tommy's a legend.
Definitely. So before we jump into it a little bit more, let me talk about the plot of this film. Whew, I gotta take a deep breath. This is gonna be So, a giant egg is unearthed in Angel Grove. Lord Zedd and Rita Repulsa investigate the egg and release the creature inside known as Ivan Ooze, whom Zordon trapped inside the egg 6,000 years ago. Once released, Ooze left to seek revenge on Zordon. Zordon, now dying without his power and with the Power Rangers' power gone, the Rangers have to travel to a far universe to seek an Amazon warrior named Dulcea, whose ancient wisdom and power re-energize them. And now, with their powers back and as Rangers again, they have to get back to Earth, save Zordon, and defeat Ivan Ooze at all costs. Whew!
So this is like 1 week out of the schedule. Wasn't anything different than any other episode of Power Rangers ever.
Nope.
Yeah.
As many times as I've seen this movie, I never really thought about it until I watched it again this week. Watching the first 20 minutes of it, I was like, well, that's an episode. And then going through that part where Zordon loses his power, and they make that trip to wherever Dulcea is from. That's another episode. So it was just basically what you said, a whole week of Power Ranger episodes. But, you know, I have to agree with some of the critics. It felt like a way worse plot than what we saw on TV.
So for me, yeah, it did seem like an extended version of the TV show. But I honestly walked away thinking, you know what? The TV show's better than this.
Mm. Yeah,
that was literally what I walked away thinking, that the TV show was, you know, I used to think the TV show was kind of cheesy, but it was cool because whatever, when I was a kid, Kung Fu, all that other bullshit, they was doing it. I wish I could do it, whatever. But after walking away, after watching this, I was like, you know what? TV show wasn't that bad.
The thing about the movie that doesn't give to the TV show is we didn't really get a lot of time to just kick it with them in their usual everyday. And that was kind of a thing that you got used to in the pacing of the episode. It's like, we're going to kick it here, then we're going to have a little something come up, then we're going to kick it for a little bit, and then it come back up again, and now it's going to jump off. You know, it was just, you know, mostly action, which isn't always a bad thing. You know, it usually led, like you said, for like a little bit more plot for it to develop. You know, and this was just, well, we got to go here, and now let's go here. And we go there, we go here. And, you know, it wasn't too much in between. So it's like the pacing of it just wasn't great for what we're used to with Power Rangers.
Well, I agree with both of you. You know, definitely with not being able to spend enough time with them before they get pushed into the action. The movie starts off, they're doing their little sky jumping thing, and immediately it feels like once they hit the ground, the communicator goes off, and next thing you know, they in that back lot meeting Ivan Ooze and his own. The TV show is definitely better. One thing that stuck out to me is just feeling that it's missing things from the TV show. Like in my notes, these are just some of the things that I did not like about the movie in comparison to the TV show. I didn't like the different costumes. I didn't like the villains looking different than they did on the TV show. I mean, I really didn't even like the command center and Zed's palace looking different. No Ernie's juice bar. They replaced it with some like beachside looking venue. If you pay close attention to the ending scene at this version of Ernie's, number one, there's no Ernie. And two, Tommy and them are eating crab legs. How you go from being in the juice bar, eating popcorn and drinking shakes, to now you on the beachfront eating crab legs? No putty patrollers, no Babu, no Squat, no Feimster. The Zords out here looking like a bunch of mirrors being put together. It was just a lot, you know. I'm not too hung on everything having to be exactly the same, but this was a little too different for me. Hell, I was even annoyed that they morphed out of order. Like, did Tommy just say White Tiger? Nah, bitch, it's Tiger Zord.
Yo, why are you talking about that? That made me think. There was a couple of things that really got at me. But the one that really caught me, I was like, why do these motherfuckers always wait until they get in their asses whipped to morph? Why don't they just do it in the damn beginning? Why they gotta have like the 40 seconds of throwing punches and kicks that clearly look like you hitting them with pillows? Oh God, they're too strong. Huh. Ready to finish this off, guys? All right. You know, then they hit him with some double kick or something stupid, and then, oh damn, it didn't work. All right, let's morph. After you fight them for 20 minutes or some shit like that. Like, some of that mess was really unnecessary, and he just got on my damn nerves.
Absolutely true, because like that first real fight when Kimberly and Billy was doing the consecutive backflips, you know, going for the world record. You know, I'm just like, why are you doing these backflips? You should be pulling out that morpher and getting ready to go. But yeah, that I'm right with you on that. That did really bother me. And then real quick, I mean, did you have something else, Derek?
No,
I
mean, no.
Okay, but the other thing that got to me was your man Ooze with the culture references. Talking about this Brady Bunch and shit. You supposed to be locked up for 6,000 years. What the fuck you know about the Brady Bunch, Nick?
You know, that's real. I mean, all that. I saw in my research that everything was on the script except for the Brady Bunch line. He ad-libbed that.
Should have kept it on the script. Continuity.
Well, hell, even talking about continuity, this movie is the only U.S. Power Ranger production, and I'm not counting that 2017 reboot, that bullshit. So this is the only, you know, movie or, you know, anything produced that's not a part of canon. You know, you can literally watch this movie and completely separate it from the television show, because right after they made this movie, they went back on the TV show and redid the whole thing.
I didn't even know there was Power Rangers canon. I didn't think it was that serious.
I think really the thing that I enjoy most about this movie was Ivan Ooze. You know, going from the real cartoonish, not having a brain monsters that we dealt with Monday through Friday on the television show. Yo, this creature was, you know, badass. Like, this is the first person other than Tommy, when he was the Green Ranger, to go into the command center and just whoop everybody ass.
Yeah.
You know, for a 11-year-old at the time, you know, Ooze had some swag to him. I wasn't mad at him.
I did like the way he kind of, when he was doing his opening little monologue and talking, just trying to let you know who he is and what he's about. I like that little bit of stank that he was putting on his voice and with some of the things he was talking about. Like, I can't remember it verbatim, but I did hear him put a little bit of flavor on his voice a few times when he was playing around with folks. So I did enjoy that part about him.
Yeah, then when he showed up to the lair and he just sat on my man's chair, and he was just like, I'm the captain now, you know.
All right. Look at me.
Okay. Homie did that to Lord Zed. Like, this is my shit.
Like, and you know, hey, Rita was a little finer than I remember. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never really looked at Rita like that. So I looked at this, I was like, oh shit, that kind of bad.
Yo, because that wasn't the Rita from the TV show. It wasn't. Didn't free her. Yeah.
That shit caught me off a little off guard. I was like, okay. And then she was flirting with this nigga too in the movie. Like, I don't remember that from the TV show.
Since you brought up a different Rita, let me bring up somebody that was almost in this movie. Derek made the comment about Dulcia earlier. Like, yo, I don't remember her in this movie. You know, and Dulcia was kind of banging, you know? What matters?
Conda.
All right, take the Conda out. You know, I was trying to be, you know, a little less creepy, you know, about the children's TV movie. So the way casting went for that role, the woman that you see playing Dulcia, her name is Gabrielle Fitzpatrick. All right. She was casted in a role first, but she was diagnosed with the ovarian cyst and had to be removed. So they brung in Mariska. Around these parts, we only call Mariska by her first name. She's like Prince. You know, we don't call Prince Nelson. Mariska is Mariska. And if folks don't know the Mariska I'm talking about, you do know former detective Olivia Benson from SVU. So she was cast actually to play that role. But shit didn't work out too cool. Mariska went to take a break. And while she was gone, Gabrielle was all healed up and ready to roll. They brought Gabrielle back and fired Olivia.
That is a crazy sliding door moment. Like, that's some real shit. Because would she have still got all the same looks? Or would people would actually know her from being in the Power Rangers movie? Like,
this was just 4 years before SVU started.
Probably better off for, because who really did anything off of Power Rangers after that?
Yeah, I agree. It was probably for the best. There is a sequence that was supposed to happen in this movie when the Rangers meet Dulcia. And they actually go stay at her place for the night before they get their powers the next day. And they were sleeping in, you know, sleeping bags with their Ranger colors. And they woke up and got trained by her the next day. All those scenes were filmed with Mariska. So when they fired Mariska, they just didn't reshoot those scenes, which is probably a good thing because that would have sucked in this movie.
That probably, yeah, it's happened for a reason. And I'm sure whoever was directing and editing probably was like, bro, we don't really need that. When you said that, I'm like, that did absolutely nothing for the movie and would not have improved it one bit. So I'm going to have to agree with them on that one.
Yo, especially for the fact that they had them damn ninja powers and they ain't used them not once. What was the whole point of them even getting the ninja powers from the animals and everything? And then they ain't use it not once during that whole fight with the monsters to unlock the great power.
See, and that's my thing. The way I keep watching it, every single time that I've seen this movie, I feel like she just gave y'all animals and pajamas. Like, I don't think there's no powers. Like, I don't think there's power until they get to the cave and beat the rock people and get their real powers, which is what the TV show, when it came back, rectified and actually gave them ninja powers when they got into the pajamas. But in this shit, yeah, you just called your animal and put on pajamas. You still half getting your ass whooped.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. Now that you called them just pajamas, I was like, man. You know what? It reminds me of, I don't know if you ever seen it. Of course, you probably seen it. The Creep video from TLC where they had the baggy pajamas on. Yo. It looked like they were about to all be up in that video flowing and shit with the little two-step.
Yo.
Satin pajamas.
They looked like some, like, you know, some Saudi guests. Like, they just went to, like, Dubai for a little bit. You real know what I'm saying? They didn't really look too ninja-ish to me. I'm like, I didn't really get it. Because you know, like, then it ain't really matched nothing that was going on. You know what I'm saying? I felt like the outfit should have been more primal. You know, she out here in the Tarzan shit. And we out here talking about jungle animals, and y'all out here, you know, like you said, dressed in, you know, silky pajamas. Like, it's, something just don't fit.
Yo, CL said something about the director, you know, making a good decision. Let's talk about a bad decision. Let's talk about the director of this movie never actually seeing the Power Rangers television show when he signed up for this movie and throughout the production of this movie, which kind of leads to the change of style that we see. You think it was a mistake for him not to look at some source material before he got into directing this movie?
Hell yeah. I mean, anytime you got a TV show that's better than the damn movie version of the same thing, I feel like there's a problem, because the movie got a budget behind it. You got time to put it in, and you're not rushing like, oh man, we got to have this X amount of episodes, so we got to stretch it out. You got time to tell a good story, put some production value behind it, and make it right. So anytime I can be like, yo, the fight scenes, everything in the TV show looked better. The Zords, literally all that shit looked better in the TV show than in the movie. That's a problem.
Let's talk about some other decisions. At first, Walter Jones, Ty Train, and Austin St. John, for those who don't know, Walter Jones played the original Black Ranger. Ty Train played the original Yellow Ranger. Rest in peace to her. And Austin St. John played the original Red Ranger. They were all signed on to appear in this movie, but they were let go due to a contract dispute with the television show. The contract dispute with the television show led to them being ultimately replaced on the television show. So that's the story behind why during the middle of season two that you got three new Rangers, because these three Rangers wanted some more money. And that's fair. Because when everyone signed on to this project, I don't know the exact figures, but they weren't getting paid much.
Of course.
And nobody was expecting Power Rangers to blow up the way it was. So, you know, they wanted some bread and they went after it. And I think all of them got substantial raises, but still probably wasn't where it should have been. So I think I'm asking an obvious question here, but still needs to be asked, I feel. Did your Power Ranger fandom go down a little bit when those original Rangers left? You know, with this movie been a little bit better with them?
Absolutely. I can't even front, bro. Like, it's like the group was together, almost like a band. You know, when they was underground a little bit, we was all here cheering for them, you know, going hard in the paint for them. And then, you know, they signed a big record label contract, and then all of a sudden, all the original group members not there. It's like, it don't feel the same. You know, it just don't have the same soul. And like, literally doesn't have the same soul, because you ain't got the black guy. so like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a hard pill to swallow. And of course, because like, you know, they were like culturally diverse, and I felt like they had people who were, you know, representative, but not cliche. And I kind of appreciated that about the TV show, because I never once felt like they're making him act black. It's like, oh, he can dance. Like, of course he can dance. He's black, you know? It's just, how well do you dance if you're black? You know, can you just two-step, or can you do Chris Brown shit? And he was kind of on toward the Chris Brown thing. Yeah, man, just kind of took a lot of the juice out. You know, they almost got me back in with the Zio costumes, the ones they came back with in the next season, because I'm not gonna lie, bro, that Black Ranger suit was so sick. I'm like, bro, that should definitely be a brother in that suit.
too fly not to be.
You know what I'm saying? So they almost got me back in all the way, but you know what I'm saying, man. It is what it is.
Yeah, it definitely took something out. Like, I think that was the first thing I mentioned. That was the first thing I noticed about the movie. I was like, all right, well, where's the black dude? Because I didn't even realize, because this is obviously however many years later, 15 years later since this movie came out. So I have forgotten all about what his dispute and him and the originals peeling off and not being in it. I had forgotten all about that. So I'm looking like, yo, where's he at? Where's the Asian shorty at? Where's the Red Ranger? Where's Jason at? It's just, those are the first things that jumped out at me. So the way I like to look at it is like when you go out with a group of people and people start peeling off one by one. And every person that peels off, you know, they take some of that energy from the crew. And no matter what, it's not going to be the same. So that's exactly how I look at it. It's just like what CL said, you know, you're taking that essence out. It's never going to be as good. So if they were in it, it definitely could have done something because it didn't seem as, I don't want to say as real, but the energy between the group just didn't seem as authentic, I guess. Yeah, so yeah, real. It didn't seem as authentic as it did in the TV show.
But when they were replaced, I did think it was interesting that they switched the colors around. Didn't have a black person in black no more. Didn't have the Asian person in yellow anymore. And didn't have Indian person. Because let me just put it out there for people who don't know. No, Jason was not your white guy. That was Billy. Jason is actually a Native American descent. So a Native American was your Red Ranger. But then we also know how those colors, you know, sometimes attached to those culture groups. So it was interesting to see that they switched those around once those new characters came in. Let's talk about Bulk and Skull. We know how Bulk and Skull were on television show. They were basically the comic relief. I wasn't feeling Bulk and Skull in this movie. Felt like they were pointless, didn't really need them. In my research, I read that in the original script, their minds were supposed to be controlled by Ivan Ooze, and they would be the human henchmen for Ivan Ooze. But it got changed, and we only see Bulk and Skull scared to jump out the plane. They land in the wrong spot, and then they falling around that Fred boy trying to stop the parents from leaping to their doom. I feel like that was a huge waste of the Bulk and Skull characters.
Man, like, I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that they jumped out the airplane, you probably wouldn't even know that they was in the movie. So it's like, if you was watching this in theaters and you missed the first 5 minutes, you would think they just left them out because they don't pop up until the end. And all of a sudden they're listening to an 8-year-old. I didn't quite figure out why they decided that it would be a good idea to listen to that 8-year-old, but I guess just trying to give them a purpose because, you know, there was no comic relief duties in this movie. Like, they didn't do anything that they would usually do, no hijinks, nothing. I mean, shit, they could have been honorary bad guys, something. Like, just kind of just left them out to dry. I was a little disappointed by that.
But who they did use was Fred, and I don't remember Fred's dad's name. Why Fred? I
couldn't put my finger on it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Questions.
Anytime I see this movie, I don't look forward to Fred being on screen. As soon as he pops up, I want him gone.
It's nothing that's like significant that really brings you to needing Fred. Somehow, some way, he figures it all out. I don't know why. Did we establish that he was a boy genius? Is he somebody who does this in his free time? Like, I don't know. It just happens.
And I really don't even think Fred did anything. He saw what was going on. Okay, he put 2 and 2 together. Congratulations. You should be able to add 2 plus 2. Thank you. But outside of figuring it out and, you know, getting the other kids to figure it out, I really don't see what else Fred did. I mean, at the end of the movie, when the parents were about to leap to their doom, I don't feel like he saved the parents. They were about to go over the cliff and he goes down there. He gets the water. He sprays the water. Somehow, some way, this water just backs that whole crowd up, which that never made sense to me. So the water doesn't break the spell. The water just pushes the crowd back. The crowd that was already at the edge, some of them little kids should have fell. Like, that whole scene was bullshit to me. Some of them kids could have shit. Like, some of those kids were closer to the edge than that barrel was that actually did fall off the cliff. So it should be some dead kids and parents in this movie.
They wouldn't have let that fly. But the physics were all off. whoever decided to shoot this action sequence did not look and measure twice, cut once. Kind of like look like they ballparked it. Y'all stand about right there and right there, and we should be okay. And of course, like you said, when you actually watching a movie for stuff like that, that will stick out. It's like y'all should have been down there with the rest of them.
Yeah, there should have been no way that they could have held off them adults like that. What was it, three little kids pushing hundreds of adults at the same time?
I think it was like three or four kids in the front, and then the rest of the kids like sprinkled in the group. So yeah, none of it made sense at all. Let's talk about Zordon. How y'all feel about this film's depiction of Zordon? I can remember as a kid seeing this movie, I was kind of ready to walk out when the Rangers got back to the command center and we saw my man in a big ass sweater chilling in some crystals.
That's I remember when I watched this the other day, I'm thinking back to the more recent reboot that came out, and I was thinking how much more I liked the Zordon from the reboot than I did this one in the original movie. I was like, all right, at least the Zordon in the reboot, they gave him a backstory. He was like the original, one of the original Power Rangers, all that stuff, and they put something into it. This joint, he's some feeble old man, you know, who's staying alive by chilling in these crystals. And the one thing I couldn't rationalize was, how come old girl got to stay young and all fit in tone on that other planet? And this dude, he's in the same, doing the same thing she doing, but he turned into like, he's like all shriveled up. I don't know what.
So I may have missed something, or it may have just been a while. I didn't know that the projection of him was from him laying in the crystals below. I had never even considered or seen any of that. So that was a shocker. I'm like, so he was actually there? His whole body was in the command center?
Horrible existence.
Who knew? You know, like that totally got me off guard first and foremost. Now I will say this, sweater was kind of nice. I did kind of like the sweater. You know, it seemed like some rich man swag type of shit.
You better, if you're going to be laying in some crystals, you better have an expensive ass sweater too.
That looked like a real nice. I can't really say where it was from. I don't really shop in rich man stores like that. So, but it seemed like one of them type joints. Maybe something from like the good section at Macy's. But my man's was, I don't know, bro. Like, maybe it's just the way that he had his head projected onto the, you know, the capsule. But he looked a little bit more chunky in the face than he did on the TV show. And I wasn't sure if I was just misremembering, but it just, something just seemed a little bit off.
One thing that I won't, you know, blame anybody on is knowing exactly what Zordon's history was in 95. Because I didn't think we really got an understanding what that time warp was until later on. You know, I would peek in and out after Turbo, see what's going on. So, you know, I do know later on in the series that, you know, actually Zordon was used to kind of wipe out all, you know, the evil existence on the Earth. The way canon explains it, Zordon ain't got no body. So if Zordon don't have no body, then his old Skeletor ass shouldn't be in no crystals.
Makes a lot more sense.
So, yeah, I never really liked that. Didn't like that depiction of Zordon, but hey, it is what it is. I want to go back to this movie being more, like we said earlier, kind of a long episode of the television show. There's really no point of going from the plot beginning to end. Because you know what it is. It literally breaks down like a Power Ranger episode. And we can just say it's a two-parter. We see the Rangers. They're doing some everyday shit. Something happens. They get a call. They go to the command center. They morph. They get their ass whooped. They go through some little trials to get back up and going, get the powers back, back in the fight, and they defeat the bad guy. Now, what's different than the TV show is that in this movie, the Power Rangers never really fight the monster. When they meet Ivan at the beginning, Ivan introduced himself, and then he dips to go take out Zordon while the Rangers are left with the Tengu Warriors. By the time the Rangers get back, there's no street fight or anything with Ivan. Ivan's already combined himself. Well, he's about to combine himself with his Zord. So it's a Zord to Zord fight. And really, that's not even normal. On the TV show, we're in the mountains or downtown, in the fake downtown, destroying the same building every episode. Sword fight. And then you get the power sword, take out the bad guy. It's a wrap. Man. Nah, man. They take Ivan Ooze to space. To destroy this monster, they kick my man in his nuts. They kick my man in his nuts. So he goes flipping and runs into a comet.
How did they know that that comet was coming?
Billy the smart dude knew it.
Astro Billy knew everything.
Yo, the grass Tyson face ass nigga got.
Now, they did mention the comet early on in the movie.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we didn't know when the comet was coming. But it just so happens that, hey, we're back on Earth now. Let's take Ivan to space and let's find the comet so we can kick him in his nuts and send him into the comet. So they ain't even try the power sword. They just went straight for my man's nuts and to blow him up. What's up?
That's a lot, bro. that's a lot. I'm trying to remember, like, when is it because they went to the other planet? Now they can, you know, just go through space and start doing stuff like this. I'm so confused. It's like, this is not what I remember about what Power Rangers do. This is not like them. What are they doing with this movie? Yeah, man, that was a real hard one to swallow. But like you said, bro, like they, you know what I'm saying, jiu-jitsu kicked my man in the nuts. He just got there with flying.
They had an emergency button, bro. She broke the glass on the emergency button. They have a kick them in the nuts button inside the Zord.
Like, whoever is, like, when they was in the meeting, and they was talking about how he was going to end the movie. It's like, I want to know, like, which side of the table did it's like, just kick him in the nuts in the space. Like, who's the one that said that shit, bro? Like, how much weed did you smoke before you came in? Because I don't think that we was going for that shit. Like, no, like you said, my man's ain't never watched Power Rangers, and that was just the most un-Power Ranger-ific thing you could have possibly done.
Thank you. It's so the whole ending sequence of getting rid of Ivan Ooze was a complete departure on what we know from Power Rangers.
Yeah, he was the weakest overpowered villain I think I can remember seeing. Because this dude had all the juice. You know, he just shooting out electricity and doing all that stuff in his hands, controlling everything, snapping his fingers and taking people out. Like, it was nothing. He gets taken out by a knee to the groin. And it wasn't even his body, mind you. Mind you, he oozed himself into that metal ant or whatever that giant thing was. So it's like he had armor down there, too. He basically wearing a giant cup. You know, like, so I was trying to figure out when she needed him. I was like, how did it hurt? He had a cup on.
So that's how the movie ends. The movie actually ends with a little cheap Tommy and Kimberly intimate moment. Yeah, it's pretty weak. Just kind of wrap this up talking about going back to the beginning and talking about, you know, Power Rangers as a whole to us. You know, a lot of people are still learning that this whole Power Rangers franchise didn't even originate in the United States, that Power Rangers comes from the Super Sentai series in Japan, And the Power Rangers that we know are actually the 16th version of the Super Sentai heroes in Japan. And actually, that version is probably the one of the least favorable ones. So it's kind of funny that our most popular one is their least favorable one.
Mm.
Did y'all know anything? Were y'all aware about the Super Sentai series?
I was acutely aware of it because I dig a lot into, you know, Japanese culture and a lot of that Asian stuff. You know, like I said earlier, I watched Dragon Ball. So it's like once you start going down the anime hole, you start learning about, oh, you know, you start watching Dragon Ball Z, but actually it's like 600 other episodes that you ain't never seen before. And they just all with the funny Goku voice, you know? So like once you start kind of like going down to some of those rabbit holes, you come to find out it's like, oh yeah, they probably was doing it a little bit better. And because they weren't so worried about trying to be commercial, they were probably just making the show good. So I could definitely see when it came to America and they made it for Saturday morning cartoons, it just cut all the juice and soul out of it. Just, you know, like anything else corporate America gets their hands on.
Yeah, I had no idea until about a minute ago when you mentioned it, what Super Sentai was.
I was aware of it early on, but I really didn't look into Super Sentai until I was probably in college. And just like CL said, that's probably around the time where I got deep into Japanese culture. Even Jackie Chan movies, you know, we know that there are way more Jackie Chan movies than the American culture knows about, you know, but these movies are Japanese production, therefore they're in Japanese. It was at that time where I would look at a Japanese movie that Jackie Chan made, and I don't care about not knowing what the hell he's saying. I just want to see Jackie Chan, you know what I mean? And that's the same thing with Super Sentai. I think our version of the original Power Rangers, their names over there are Zooranger. So if anybody is interested in checking out the actual original Power Rangers from the Super Sentai series, download the app Tubi. That's T-U-B-I. You can watch that stuff for free, movies and television shows. Super Sentai Zooranger. It's on there. You can check out that series. Just remember that it's in complete Japanese. So turn your captions on so you'll know what they're saying. You'll actually see where we get our original Power Rangers from. And then after you do that, yo, go to Netflix and rewatch some old Power Ranger episodes. Like, you'll amaze yourself to see the differences. That's when if you didn't know, you'll know then that all the juice bar footage, that was original. But all them fighting scenes that we saw as a kid, they clipped those in from the original series.
Yeah, that's a bit of a staple. And it's very apparent in this movie that everything is definitely done in a sound recording studio. Like, none of the dialogue was actually recorded on the set. So yeah, bro, I might have to actually check some of that out though.
I mean, at this point, I'm probably not going to check it out. You know, I'm done with Power Rangers. If they come out with a fire advertisement for a reboot or something, maybe I'll check out the reboot, but this ain't Dragon Ball Z. I ain't digging into the crates for this one.
I say, I ain't gonna watch too many of them, but I would like to get a taste.
Get a taste. It's worth it. Like, I wouldn't say, you know, go through the entire 50, 55 series. If I would recommend, you know, a number of episodes to go through their version of the Green Ranger saga. All right. In Japan, in that series, the Green Ranger and the Red Ranger are actually brothers.
It's a little deeper.
And the reason in the American series why they had to take Tommy's powers away is because that Green Ranger ends up dying. So I would say if you want to check it out and you don't want to look at the whole thing, go back and look at that Green Ranger series. And it's a little bit more teenager material. I think one of y'all dropped it earlier about how our Power Rangers were a little bit more campy. You don't find that Rita's name in the Japanese version, her name is Bandora. She trying to kill motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Ain't nothing campy about her. She want to kill kids and then she want to kill adults. Like, that's her deal. So check it out.
This was an event.
Yeah, it was. It hates my Power Ranger heart to do what I'm about to do. But y'all know how we wrap it up. We give each movie that we review an award based off our personal enjoyment of the film. If we love the film, we give the movie an image award. If we feel it was good but not great, we'll take it down the line and give it a Soul Train award. If it was just all right, so-so, average, we'll hook it up with a Source Award. Or if we kick in Power Rangers in the nuts, like the Zord did Ivan Ooze, we're going to get this shit a BET award. So I'll kick it over to you first, CL. What do you have for 1995's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie?
I'm about to give it a BET award, man. I'm just going to come right out the gate and just say, man, this was a lot of poop on a platter. You know what I'm saying? I really was hoping that there would be some things that would get me excited about this movie, but it just never came. Like, I just kept waiting for it and it just never came.
Yeah, I'm going to throw that to the BET award as well. I was sitting here while CL was talking. I'm trying to figure out which one was worse. Is it this or Death by Temptation? And I'm thinking at the end of all this, we're going to have some kind of playoff style bracket to see who wins.
Death by Temptation again. Like, I laughed at that shit. I was kind of entertained. Yeah,
I laughed at that despite James Bond III. I'm sorry. I feel like that's going to be a thing to me. We might have to come up with another award, award for the worst actor. The worst actor in the movie. The James Bond III award.
Golly, man. You cold.
Man, it hurts my Power Ranger heart. But this shit is terrible, dude. It's terrible. It gets a BET award. I think, like Death by Temptation, there was something there. You know, like I said earlier, and then we all agreed, like, you actually had a villain that was really different. And then I feel like everybody that I talked to about this movie, like, I've never heard somebody not enjoy Ivan Ooze. But then the rest of the movie around it is just shit. Look, I'll watch anything that got Tommy in it as a Power Ranger. Like, I think it was 2-3 years ago. I don't even know what they call the new Power Ranger series now. But somebody told me Tommy's old ass was gonna be on that. And shit, I YouTubed the shit out of it just to see Tommy's old ass morph. So the only thing that could get me to watch this movie is to see Tommy and to have a good time with Ivan Ooze. The rest of this shit, yeah, gets a BET award all day. Yo, it really, really hurt my Power Ranger heart to give this movie a BET award. I mean, Power Rangers Turbo, the movie, is better than this shit. And to be honest, Power Rangers Turbo has its own set of problems. It is not the perfect movie at all. But hey, let's switch gears and talk about what's next for the Madcap crew. Next week, we're going to do Chris Tucker's first leading role in a film. One of my favorites, 1997's Money Talks. Now, don't at me, don't at the show. I know Chris Tucker was one of the stars in Friday, but that was Ice Cube's movie. Money Talks, Chris Tucker is top of the bill. And I can't wait to deep dive on Money Talks next week. Oh, I have a special treat for everyone at the beginning of the podcast next week as well. So before we get out of here, don't forget to follow the Madcap Movie Review Podcast on Instagram and Twitter at MadcapPod. Give us a like over on Facebook as well. For my co-hosts, Derek and Ciel, this is Sean, and we'll see you next week with that Money Talks review.
Franklin Hatchett.
What, are we going to talk for a couple of seconds on camera?
You that reporter from the Channel 5 News, ain't you? Find somebody else.
The hustling game wasn't quite paying off.
Serious crime, justified punishment.
You don't know who you're messing with, man.
You want to play rough? I kill for fun. That's what I do, man.
But all that's about to change.
We made it, man. We did it, everybody okay?
Because today's the day.
Y'all can drop me out right over there, man. My cousin's house coming up.
Shut up!
Come on, man. You can drop a brother out.
He becomes rich.
My diamonds. How much are they worth?
$15 million.
$15 million?
And famous.
A bus delivering prisoners was destroyed in downtown Los Angeles.
Now, the last person he can trust.
But without me, you're probably gonna end up dead.
Is the only person that can help him.
This is gonna take care of us for the rest of our life.
Hey. This is wrong.
This is right. It can't get no righter.
You're coming to my wedding.
Hell no. I ain't going nowhere. Mama mia. Your house. Magnifico. Montebella. Tutti frutti.
My fiance Grace.
She fine.
Thanks.
Ah! Homicide detectives have already identified the two gunmen, and they are Franklin Maurice Hatchett and James Russell of Channel 12 News.
Freeze! You're wanted for murder. You can't get married when you're wanted for murder.
I get the feeling you stole from the wrong bunch of bad guys.
We finna die!
Get your head down.
I will slap you, man. You keep messing with me. I'm dangerous. I'm scared of myself. Everybody, I'd like to propose a toast. Your James first, his last, his everything.
Isn't that Barry White?
Chris Tucker.
How rich are you, man? Loan me $1 million. You gonna loan it to me?
Charlie Sheen. Money Talks.
How about some nice Dom Perignon 85?
How about some Coke 45?